This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Knicks tonight against the Sixers, game two. Rangers won yesterday against the Capitals. They'll play again tomorrow. And we'll be all over it. We're definitely going to talk Rangers, but the Yankee game just ended, so people at the ballpark, they're in their car right now. So that leads us to the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Hey, bottom line, there's no way to sugarcoat it. They're not hitting.
No.
So they've had four games on this homestand, and in the four games, so that's 9, 18, 27, 37 innings. They scored in three of the innings. So they're not putting any kind of extended pressure on pitchers. They work the count and all that. But the only guy that has consistently hit since the beginning is Soto.
Yeah.
Anthony Volpe has been in a terrible slump. He did get a hit today. Mm-hmm. Judge has really, really struggled. Struck out to end the game. Another 0-4 for him. So there's a lot of outs up and down the line. They wasted a great performance by Carlos Rodon today. And I expect that they're going to hit. But they have a great record. They're right up at the top of the division with the Orioles. But you're letting games get away. On the day with John Sterling retiring, they lost the game 2-0. Should have won that game. They had opportunities to win that over and over and over again. They can't push across runs. So I don't know what's happening. The one question I'm asked the most, what's wrong with Judge? I don't know. Now, I did say something about Knicks fans. I just want to go here for a second.
Okay.
This is to the Yankee fans that are listening. What are you doing? I mean, can we be friends here? What are you doing booing Aaron Judge? Now, I understand he's played horribly. I get it. He's the captain of the team. He's represented the team in the best way. I'm not saying you don't have the right. You definitely have the right. But to what end? You're trying to seduce Juan Soto to stay. And then Juan Soto sees his own fan base turning on the Yankee captain who broke the American League home run record 2 years ago. And you're booing him. To what end? Is he not trying? If he wasn't trying, you should boo him out of the ballpark. He's trying. Don, what are they doing? There's nobody that's immune to booing anymore. It's like everything you did is in the past.
I'm surprised you're surprised. I mean, they booed Mo. They booed Jeter.
They booed Mo once.
And this is isolated, too. I mean, Judge is in a really bad slump. They're more probably booing the situation. They love Aaron. But that's New York. They're going to get frustrated. A lot of those people, Michael, that come to the building, they come to the building to see Aaron Judge.
I get it.
And they're disappointed when he strikes out. 31 strikeouts. I know you strike out a lot.
But what are they booing?
Are they like booing the situation, disappointed that he's struggling? Letting him know?
You're booing him.
I
know what you're saying, and I generally agree.
Yeah.
But you're booing the captain of your team who's done nothing but glorify the franchise, and you're booing him. You know, nobody wants him to slump. He doesn't want to slump. Again, I'm all for booing people that don't hustle. Guy hustles.
And you bring up an excellent point attaching it to Soto. A lot of Yankee fans believe in their team and believe in the Yankees and the pinstripes and the aura, and that Soto's not going to be able to leave because he's going to love being a Yankee. If he sees Aaron Judge getting booed, what do you think they're going to do to Soto when he inevitably gets into a slump? He's going to. It's baseball, right?
Yeah.
You fail 70% of the time, so he might be thinking to himself, why do I want to be here? If Aaron Judge, who hit 62 home runs, he's a god, can get booed, well, why would I want to be someplace where I'm going to get booed every time I put a 1-for-30 up? So it's not strategic. It's just showing your passion, I guess. But it's not bright. I usually defend fans for doing that because I understand being a fan that sometimes you could be frustrated. But there's got to be some guys that you give a pass to. And it's still too darn early, Peter, to start having a judgment on what Judge ultimately is going to be.
But this is the number one fan thing that annoys me, is booing players who aren't hitting. It's the one thing where you cannot tell if it's an effort thing. So what is the purpose? But I will say, though, we are allowed to have a conversation about, is something wrong here? I mean, some people speculating his stance is off. He's standing too far from the plate. Whatever it is, I mean, you know, we're sitting here now almost a month into the season, and he's under 200. There's something to be at least asking questions about.
Now, it may be because he didn't get as many swings as normal during the spring. coming off a season in which he missed a chunk of time. So maybe is the timing just a little off? It's possible. Or it just could be one of those things. I mean, we're only talking about how many at-bats, Michael? 86 at-bats, 23 games. It's a very small sample size.
Mm-hmm.
But to Peter's point, it's getting late early. I mean, eventually you're going to get over 100 at-bats to the point where you know how incredibly hot he's going to have to get to put up his typical numbers?
The only
thing... at some point...
When I don't even look at those numbers. I kind of look more at the advanced numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Those concern me a little bit because his hard hit rate is way down. Right. Not hitting the ball as hard as he used to. Why? He's still Aaron Judge. Why is he not hitting? Now, I'm going to still, until somebody tells me he's hurt, I'm going to lean on the fact that he simply didn't have enough at-bats in spring training. And so he's still feeling it or trying to get it, get the feel back. But, hey, I'm not going to say people shouldn't be upset, but to boo him, again, to what end? I'm not ripping anybody. I just don't get it. Now, also on that day, it was a miserable day for me, Don and Peter. It really was.
On Saturday?
I was so sad. I just was so sad. You know, the ceremony with John, which I think the Yankees did, you know, a great job. But, I mean, it's like the end of an era. You know, I've been with this guy all 36 years. You know, 3 years as a writer and then 10 years together. And, you know, we saw each other every day. And just to say, you know, the tank is empty. And I guess it reminds all of us of our professional and mm-hmm. real mortality. The tank becomes empty. Nobody's immune to it. Peter even remarked to me, texted me, he said, "Kaester, you seem down." And I said, "I really am."
He didn't say Kaester, did he?
Well, did you say that, Peter? Did you say Kaester?
I may have.
Yeah.
I may have.
Yeah.
Why are you appalled by that, Don?
Too comfortable.
He's my friend. He could call me.
I'm not
hold
saying
on.
That. I'm just Kaester, really. I wouldn't do that.
Hold on.
I mean, I'm just telling you, I wouldn't do it. I'm not doing it, I have the right to judge you doing it.
Peter's
no,
very
no because you hate yourself. You think you're garbage. That's your own.
No, I just
If I'm worried about getting too comfortable with Michael, who can I ever get comfortable with?
I don't know. I just Kaester to me, I don't know if anybody should do it. Honestly, what is wrong with you? No, I honestly think I'm just being honest, Peter.
All right, well, it's
if somebody goes, "Hey, Kaester," I'm thinking that guy's a tool.
Yeah, but it's different. I would only say it in text. I wouldn't say it in conversation. But to be honest, it's irrelevant because I did not say that.
Okay.
You looked it up?
Because you would probably do.
I texted you. Ceremony was awesome. You looked very emotional.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
No, but I think that on Twitter you said something. Kaester.
I'm
in my feels. I think you said Kaester was down.
He may be right.
You know what? If you're using feels, do what you want.
You know what?
Let's see what that was. See if I offended Don again. It's hard pleasing Don. Oh, no. Oh, boy.
You did, right?
I'm looking. There was a lot. Oh, here we go. Okay. Everything is getting made up here. I said, "This Sterling ceremony has me feeling a bit emo," with a teary-eyed emoji. Don, is that okay?
Yeah.
Followed up by, "Well done at Yankees Yes Network. Perfect job with the Sterling send-off." And that's it. And then
there's no issues.
There's no Kaester.
And I apologize. And there was no fields.
No fields and no Kaester.
Yeah. So listen, I'm a harsh judge. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you how I feel.
I'm not gonna ask
people to feel the same way. I'm not gonna sit there and argue that you're wrong for thinking I'm a yo-yo. I'm just telling you, I will never be comfortable enough with Michael to call him Kaester.
And I wouldn't call you Donnie Legee.
Yeah, you wouldn't call me Sweet Donnie Legee. That was something Tony Page used to call me.
And
it was adorable when Tony did it, because he's Tony.
Right.
You're Michael. Michael doesn't say Sweet Donnie Legee.
So anyway, getting back to Sterling, he comes up in the booth in the second inning. And before we go on the air, I said, "John, I would love if you just did this inning. You did the play-by-play." He said, "Nope, I don't have it." It was really sad.
I hate doing this, but we analyze, right?
For a living, Don.
It does feel like something happened. This is a guy that loved his job, did every inning. And then health got in the way, and he had to give up some games, and he had to give up some road trips. But he went into this season that started, you know, barely a month ago, not even a month ago, where he was going to do the full season. And now won't even do an inning on the day he's being honored.
And he wouldn't do it on FAN either.
I'm just surprised he's able to shut it off. Now, obviously he has, but it just feels like, did something happen that he went from 60 to zero like that? That he loved it so much, he could not stop doing it, did not want to stop doing it. Now he won't even give you an inning on the day that he's being honored. Nobody asked him to come back.
Yeah, he didn't want
to
do it.
So weird to be able to just go cold turkey like that.
Yeah, the whole day was very sad. It's just very, very sad. So I hope he enjoys his retirement.
Is it as simple as, it's not for health reasons, then thank God. But clearly, when you're going to be 86 years old, is it a case that he loves it so much that the only way to stop was to stop the way?
Maybe.
Is it that if I give it another series, then I'm going to be tempted to want to give another series and then finish the year. And if I finish the year, then I'm going to want to come back in 2025. Like me with Doritos, it's like, I love them so much, the only way I just have to stop cold turkey. Is it that I am not going to be able to survive doing baseball anymore? I want to have another life. I want to be able to do things. I need to give this up. Almost like it was an addiction.
I've asked him on air, off air, every which way, and all I keep saying is, the tank is empty. That's it. That's what he says.
Huh.
The tank is empty.
Well, good for him. I don't want to pry because he doesn't deserve that. But it comes from a place of, you know, when you're going to miss somebody that much,
mm-hmm.
and that's a testament to him. Now, I'm not even a Yankee fan.
We wondered about this a lot.
Hmm.
Musnick laid off him on Friday and Sunday.
Okay.
I mean, to the surprise of many. I wonder, was he afraid? Because so many people, even in his own paper, were, you know, lionizing John. How great he is and how he's going to be missed. Mike Vaccaro, an esteemed columnist. And he didn't want the smoke. But you know who took the smoke? Your guy. Raceman destroyed him.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Oh, he destroyed him.
Oh, your dear friend.
Destroyed him.
I got to read that.
Oh, it's unbelievable. So he likes you, but he destroyed John the day.
Well, under what circumstances?
Just that, you know, he didn't do the job the right way. It was all about him. He made mistakes, blah, blah, blah. I mean, not feeling anything of what Tom Verducci wrote. That.
All right, he might not be your cup of tea. It's like the Grateful Dead for me. I don't get it. Never liked them. Don't listen to their music. But I respect them. They belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I honor them because of how great other people think he is. Why couldn't Bob go there? All right, it's not my cup of tea. I don't think he did it the right way. But boy, fans love him. And he did it for a long time.
Give the guy a call.
I don't reach out to him.
And by the way, Peter, thank you to No Blue Check P, right?
Okay.
You on Instagram, Kaster looking very emotional, has me in my feelings.
In my feelings? Did I say feels?
You didn't say feels, but you did say
Kaster.
Well,
you said Kaster.
But Don's wrong on that. I'm fine with the feels one. I would have given Don some credence. The Kaster, I'm just.
I don't know. I just feel.
I'm totally
I
fine
just
with
feel
it.
Fine. I just weird. Now, the nicknames are.
Michael now?
I would never call Jim Cott Kitty.
Hold on, Don. Now you're taking Michael's gimmick of you refuse nicknames in general?
I'll say A-Rod because it's kind of acceptable. I don't think Kaster's at that level.
I wouldn't even say Yogi. I'd say Larry.
Well, that's
again,
a little.
Again,
that's,
he lies.
Bucky
was Russell to me.
That's a bridge
Bucky
too far.
Earl, Russell Earl. Now, Aaron Boone got thrown out today for no reason whatsoever. And here he is post-game from Yes.
Hard to. I really didn't even go after Hunter. You know, I was more upset that, you know, on the appeal, and I said, Hunter, you can call it too. And he came back at me pretty hard, to which I didn't respond. I just said, okay, went down, and it's embarrassing. It really is a bad, it's embarrassing.
And what Hunter said that really annoyed me too, Boone said, I didn't say anything. And he said that it was a fan behind the dugout who said it, not him. And you know what Wendell said? I don't care who said it. You're gone. You don't care who said it.
No, that doesn't make any sense. Because even if he had mistakenly thought it was somebody on the bench, then you throw that person out. You don't, right? You don't throw the manager out because something his player or one of his coaches say. You throw that player or coach out.
That's an umpire who's in his feels a little bit. Sorry, Peter.
No, it's all right. That's all right.
Boone's asked, will you bring this up to the league?
Yes, but just not good.
And then Aaron was talking about the Yankees' offensive struggles today.
Yeah, just scuffling a little bit, still getting a few guys going. We got him out more than that, obviously, and that's taking nothing away from Sears. I thought he threw the ball, you know, watching on TV, you know, that fastball kind of slider sweeper combination's pretty real, and he came in, you know, his last two starts throwing the ball really well, and, you know, by just watching on TV, you know, he looked really good against us, and then their back end is real. You know, they have a few guys down there that them winning the games they've won, they've been able to close out some games because they got a pretty dynamic back in there. So, you know, we just got to find a way to obviously do a little bit more offensively.
The greatest line during the Sterling press conference, he sat down, right? And he said, is this the spot where Booney sits and goes, they're close? Got a huge, nice. Huge laugh. That's the Penn State Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. One other thing, not one other thing, we want to talk a lot about it. That was a nice first game for the Rangers. First period, Capitals played about as well. They, you know, they forced the issue. But then when Rempe scores, I mean, the whole building exploded.
Well, they just love him. I mean, they're chanting his name during warm-ups. They're chanting his name every time he comes onto the ice. They're chanting his name when he's not on the ice. And then he scores the first goal of the game in his first playoff game. And then the place is up for grabs. And he played well. The whole fourth line, Michael, were the stars. The third star was Rempe. The second star was Gaudreau. And the first star was Jimmy Vesey.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you see the entire fourth line be the stars of the game? So that bodes well moving forward. All their goals came even strength, so at least for now you feel better about them 5-on-5. I thought they were way better than Washington. So, listen, Ovechkin didn't do anything, Oshie didn't do anything, and maybe they'll have a response tomorrow, but that's as thorough an effort that you want to see. And the first period was kind of taken away from them because there were six penalties called. Both teams had two power plays. So
also, they called a penalty right away on Rempe when he didn't really do much.
Yeah, it was a border.
I think they're looking out for him.
Yeah, so that's why you got to mind your P's and Q's, Michael, because it doesn't matter whether it's a good call or not. If Washington scored the first goal on the power play, you know, things change. It was a borderline call. I thought all the calls actually were pretty borderline for both sides. Kelly Sutherland, I believe, was the one that called all the penalties, and I didn't think he had a great first period, but it kind of toned down after that. But I think that kind of took away from the first period, maybe a feeling out process, because these two teams hadn't played since February, and that was before Washington had really gotten hot in March. So I thought it was a great first game. Really was. The building was incredible, especially after Rempe scored. I thought Igor was good. Kreider got on the board with a nice breakaway goal. It was really just a complete effort, especially the last 40 minutes of the game. They're now 21-8 in game ones at Madison Square Garden. So that's a great way to set the tone. And now go out and take care of business tomorrow and see if you can make this a short series. And I know Ranger fans don't want to do this, but root for the Islanders. If for no other reason, to just make sure Carolina's got to play a long series, because that's going to be who you take on next, the winner of that series. So not telling you to go out there and chant, we want the Islanders, but you want to see the series go seven, and that would really bode well for them. So hopefully the Islanders get a win tonight.
Now, following the game on Saturday, Rempe was asked, what's the feeling when the crowd is singing your name and it's your mom's first game seeing you at MSG?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like I said before, I love them. I don't want to let them down. I want to play my hardest every single game for them, and it's pretty cool. Today was the first game my mom was at the Garden ever, so it was really special because she got to hear the chants and get a goal and stuff, so it was really special for her to be there, and yeah, so it's a really special night.
Now, he plays on an edge, and he's got a little showmanship to him. Did you see him after the goal? Mm-hmm. Kind of put his hands up, like, you know, and of course we know what happened in the Jersey game with the Siegenthaler hit and the histrionics, but he's a good kid. I would tell you if he wasn't. He's such a really good kid, easy to root for. So he's got a little showmanship in him, but he's also got some game. This is not some goon who throws his body around, drops the gloves, and that's it. If he continues to play this way, he is going to have a chance to continue to be in this lineup, because I feel like Philip Hedl's going to come back. And it might come at the expense of Rempe. I mean,
right.
So you can only dress who you can dress. Somebody's going to have to come out of the lineup when Hedl is back and ready to go. I think it's just a matter of finding the right time to put Hedl back in, because he hasn't played since November. So if Rempe continues to play this way, it'll make it even harder for Peter to have it be Rempe who comes out of the lineup.
All right, now that leads us to Who's Hot, Who's Not, brought to you by General Plumbing Supply. Who's Hot? Matt Rempe.
All right.
He scored the first goal of the playoffs for the Rangers. His line was responsible for two of the four goals in game one for the Blue Shirts. Who's not? Aaron Judge.
Mm.
That's who's hot, who's not. Brought to you by General Plumbing Supply. General Plumbing Supply's starting lineup of experts will help keep your clients cool and your business hot. For Grand Slam quality and service, trust the real experts at GPS. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Tishon in Patterson. Tishon.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Peter, what's going on? Don?
Yes.
How are you, sir? Keith, sir.
Yep.
There you go.
I got a little issue with you, sir.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I watch and listen to the show every day as I'm riding home with the kids. But as a lifetime Knicks fan, I have a problem with you having a problem with fans calling out Boston, right? I feel like it's not, well, you said it's moronic to do. I feel like we need an apology. We're the number two seed.
Right.
Right? So we're all in our fields, as we were talking about earlier.
Oh, there you go.
And everything, I'm sorry?
No, that's right, in the fields.
Right, we're all in our fields. The game's going well, everything's flowing. We had a great win over Philly. And why not call out the seed above us? Why would we punch down?
Why would you punch through Milwaukee?
Because Boston is the number one seed.
I know, yeah, but
the number two seed.
All right, we but you still listen, you haven't even finished off Philly through. Yet.
But you got three more wins to finish off Philly. How do you look that? I'm not saying the fans are wrong. What they said was moronic. Sorry, saying, I'm not apologizing to anybody.
He didn't call you moronic. He called the idea of doing it more because you know, as a Knicks fan, if you were the one seed and Boston was the two, and Boston beat Philadelphia, and you heard Boston fans chanting, "If you were up next and they were chanting the team that they were going to be playing after you, right? So let's say Milwaukee was the one seed.
We're not thinking about what Boston is thinking.
No, but you didn't hear. If you heard them chanting about the team that they'd play after the Knicks,
why do we care about what Boston is
because you would be like, what about us?
Yeah, but who cares? I agree with them on that. Who cares?
But T-Shawn, why don't they chant "We want Denver"?
We
went
to the playoffs last year.
But why don't you chant "We want Denver"?
We have a great. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Why don't you chant "We want Denver"? Let's go all the way to the top.
Come on, Mike.
Why? Come on. Why is that ridiculous? But chanting for Boston's not.
If you really want to go there, Boston is the number one team in the league. So,
but the Denver Nuggets are the defending champions. Let's go all out.
But also,
however you want to play it, I'm just saying it's not.
You did that 2 years ago after one win.
It is moronic.
Wait a minute.
Two years ago, in our conference,
but still,
that we could potentially play.
But can you finish? You got two more series to win.
We are in our field.
Well, I just think you're disrespecting yourself. Because
we're actually bigging ourselves up, given what we've gone through.
But yeah, but see now, so see long. That's why you're disrespecting yourself. That's why you're disrespecting yourself. You're not the little engine that could anymore. All right, just whatever.
Just shut your mouth for a second so I can get my point across.
You're talking
over.
No, you don't deserve the point. We move on.
I mean, how do you argue that? You think that's wise?
You did it 2 years ago against Atlanta.
And we
won Brooklyn, and you lost the next four games, and you were out.
Yeah. I mean,
you went to the second round last. That's what I don't understand, Peter. I let him go a couple of years ago against Atlanta because it's been a long time since they've been to the playoffs. Are you good or not? Don't act like you're the underdog. Don't act like you're some 8 seed barely getting in. You're the 2 seed. So why are you going crazy after one win? You're supposed to win your home games in the playoffs. So why are you disrespecting yourself, making it like, oh, it's been such a long time. You made it to the second round last year. This is supposed to be the year you're going to the third round. So it shouldn't be that big of a deal that you won one game. You still have 7 more games to get. If you want to chant up 10 in game 5 when you're finishing off the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round saying, we want Boston, all for it. There's too much work to do. Then what's going to happen if you don't make it out of this series? How is it going to look? Like what happened 2 years ago. What happened last year when you won game one against Miami and still bowed out. Come on, man. There's still too much work to do. You're better than that.
I do agree with the one part, though, of your argument of how would you feel if you were the team
who
they're skipping over.
He's wrong, Peter, because you know how many phone calls we'd get if the team after the Knicks were the Bucks and the Celtic fans were saying, we want the Bucks, we'd be getting phone calls saying, what about us? They still got to get through us first. Why are they chanting about Milwaukee when they still got to play us?
Yeah, but I mean, unless that really bothers the team on some level, who cares what their fans have to say?
Just be better.
I talk for a living, and whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I'm sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. There's nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea, Bigelow Earl Grey. This delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil is not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. It keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow tea number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Get more in a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. More selection, over 750 new Mazdas available, and more savings on their entire Mazda lineup. Like the new 2024 Mazda CX-30 2.5S all-wheel drive, lease for just $199 a month. At Ramsey Mazda, Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 888-885-2891 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN RM667991. MSRP $26,445. Ends 4/30/24.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Knick fans, don't miss MSG Network's coverage of Game 2 tonight between the Knicks and the Sixers, with pregame coverage at 7 p.m., and tip-off with the Hall of Fame duo of Mike Breen and Walt Clyde Frazier at 7:30 p.m. MSG Networks is your local home for all first-round Knicks coverage. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. John in Lyndhurst. John.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. What's up, John?
I appreciate you taking the call. I want to call about the New York Rangers. First off, before I get into the game, listen, it was a taste for us Ranger fans where Sam Rosen isn't around. He's not doing the game. It was Kenny Albert. Kenny Albert is a gem. But I think I speak for a lot of Ranger fans where we want Don LaGreca to take that spot when eventually Sam hangs it up. Don, you're a legend. You're the best.
Wow, strong.
I appreciate that, but I don't think Sam's got any appetite to hang it up anytime soon. But I think Sam is really tremendous. So thank you, John, for that. I appreciate that.
Oh, of course, of course. Listen, the fourth line, unreal last night. Love Matt Rempe, legend. Love what VZ did. That pass was incredible. Him and Barkley Goodrow. I know Ranger fans are getting on Goodrow because of his contract, you know, but he's a Stanley Cup proven player. So great, great, great night for the fourth line. I want to say that also. Don't get caught up in this Tom Wilson goonery, because I feel like that, what Tom Wilson was doing last night, and also Dylan McElrath, like a guy, you know, life came at me fast last night because I had a Dylan McElrath t-shirt that said Dylan McElrath Fight Club, and then I got the new one that says Matt Rempe Fight Club. I'm like, oh my God.
Hopefully it goes a lot better for Rempe than it did for McElrath.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But I love the way they played last night. Just keep it going. And, you know, you guys were talking about the Yankees and the ump today. Kelly Sutherland and his crew, they might be the same thing. Because they went from calling every ticky-tack just a stick on the glove, a little hook here and there, calling that, and in the third period, they just swallowed the whistles, where Tom Wilson looked like he was going to try and kill Mika Zibanejad, even if he didn't even...
Well, that's what I told you at the beginning of the series, John. I said they can't get into all of Wilson's histrionics. The Washington Capitals are the underdog. They're going to try to draw penalties. They're going to try to get in your head. You saw it at the end of the game when it was already over, whether it was Van Riemsdyk getting into it, Wilson getting into it. Don't buy into it. You're the better team. Ignore them. And besides, and if you do get into any penalty trouble, you're 13 for 13 counting the regular season against them. So, but still, Michael, in these, you know, early in the game, you don't want to commit a penalty, something stupid, and give up a power play goal, and it affects you. So let the team that's got nothing to lose get themselves in trouble. But don't buy into that.
Let's go to Lonnie in Long Island. Lonnie.
Yes, how's it going, gentlemen?
Good. Well, how are you, Lonnie?
Well, I'm doing all right. The Knicks look like they're going to be all right. But the Yankees, I'm worried about. You know, the Yankees last year, they had a problem hitting. And, you know, it seemed like they got worse this year. We need three Sotos to make that team better. I don't know what happened. Judge, I don't know what's going on with him. Rizzo, I don't know. Stanton did better than he usually do. And I just don't get it. What's going on with their hitting?
Well, I mean the one thing you've got to consider. I mean, we're 22 games in, so I mean, just pump the brakes. And they're still in first. You know, coming into today, they were in first place. They're not hitting, but and you're allowed to be upset about it. But to hit I on Twitter yesterday, there was a guy. I don't answer back anymore, and it's made me a better person.
I'm proud of you, Michael.
Guy goes, the judge can't hit. You have to bench him. Really? You're going to bench Judge? Oh. Well, who are you putting in?
Well, it just shows you how reactionary they are.
Trent Grisham?
You know, same fan base that wanted Soto in the Hall of Fame off of his start. Like, so they're at least living in the now, but you're not benching Aaron Judge. He didn't forget how to hit. This is baseball. This happens. Guys have slumps. And here's the good news. Other than today, they're finding ways to win series even though they're not hitting. They still took 2 out of 3 from Tampa. I still think they're going to be okay the rest of this series. They're still in first place. They still have one of the best records in baseball. So imagine what this team's going to do when they start to hit.
How about this for an Iron Man move? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan Rucco did the Clippers game yesterday in L.A. Got on a red eye.
Oh, wow.
Landed. Went right to Yankee Stadium and called the game.
That's what you do. You're professional.
Well, that's what play-by-play people do.
It is pretty normal.
No, it's not normal. I have no sleep. And do a game.
I mean, he didn't get up and deliver bread this morning, Michael. He put on a nice suit, and he went and called the New York Yankees.
He probably got some sleep on the plane.
Well, I don't know if he's a plane sleeper. I'm not.
I'm not either, but
he
may be.
I'm one of the great plane sleepers.
You are a good plane sleeper.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Frank in New Jersey. Frank.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you doing today?
Michael,
I had a question for you and a question for Michael. Under what consideration, and you do have a great radio voice, would you consider, if offered, going into the radio booth? And then a question for Peter.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I love the job on TV, and, you know, to be honest with you, it would be, you know, it's a drop in pay, so I wouldn't consider it. I mean, if they said, okay, we want you to do the radio, and you're going to work under the contract you're working on, yes, I guess I'd have to do it, but no, I'd rather stay on TV.
Okay, great. And Peter, for you, with all the great wrestling and everything else, I understand there is a storyline, especially before a... How much in advance do the wrestlers get the storyline intended for that evening, and how much preparation do the wrestlers do prior to the match? If you could answer that. And also, when is the YouTube special coming out on WrestleMania?
Oh, those are all very, very good questions. I thought the YouTube WrestleMania special was coming out a few days after WrestleMania. I thought it was already out, but I'm mistaken, and they pushed it back. Every single wrestler situation is different. So sometimes they know something weeks in advance, sometimes months in advance, sometimes it changes 15 minutes before they go out there. So that is very much depends on who you are. I mean, a huge top of the card storyline is much more known than something that's lower on the card and sort of changing week to week. And depending on the wrestlers, some people work out a lot of their match, and some people basically say, hey, let's do this, this, and this. Sounds great. See you out there. It just depends.
So, Don, I got a text from my good friend, Rick DiPietro.
Oh, yeah. I love Rick. I'm sure it's positive.
And he said, you can barely get Peter to stay awake for a baseball segment after a full night's sleep, and he has the gall to not give Rucco credit.
You know what? But that's not even a fair comp, because Rucco loves baseball. Now, by the way, though, if I was calling a game, I'd be wide awake. The problem is to listen to these, you know, some of our beloved listeners babble on about it. That's the harder part, Rick. I challenge you.
Wow. You're a nasty boy. You really are.
First of all, I don't like you using that description. It's Don, it's giving Vanity 6. I don't like it. And second of all, he's the one who called with the nastiness, not me.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Genesis of White Plains. Proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Peter, tell us about FanDuel.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I would absolutely love to tell you about FanDuel, Michael. FanDuel Sportsbook, the road to the NBA Finals, well, it's underway right now. And new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet and you get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You can bet on three-pointers made in the Knicks-Sixers game tonight, maybe point totals for Brunson and DiVincenzo, first basket score, and more. Just go to FanDuel.com/Peter to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, Islanders Nation, listen up. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets to the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. Be there to see your New York Islanders take on the Carolina Hurricanes in games 3 and 4 at UBS Arena. Enter to win at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Just scroll down to contest, submit your entry. Brought to you by the New York Islanders. Be a part of the electric atmosphere at UBS Arena. Get your tickets at NewYorkIslanders.com. All right, now, the Islanders will meet the Canes tonight in game 2, 7:30. You could hear it on 1050 ESPN, and we bring in the Hall of Famer, Denny Potvin, right now. So, Denny, let me ask you this, and thank you for joining us on the show. How did the Islanders come back tied at 1-1? What do they have to do tonight?
Well, I tell you, having to play against a team that really shuts things down, and, as long as I can remember, the Carolina Hurricanes have always been very tough defensively. And, you know, with Rod Brindamore, sort of an expert at that type of game as their coach, it's going to be hard to get to the net. It's going to be hard to make, you know, the kind of plays you want to make in the offensive line. But for the, you know, for the New York Islanders, they're just going to have to create a lot more scoring opportunities, I think, and then hope that they can, you know, score on them.
They had 34 shots, Denny. Were you not happy with the quality? Is 34 a number do you think should be enough for them to be able to get some goals past Anderson?
You know, I as long as I've been in hockey, I've always thought, you know, rather than count the number of shots on goal, how about trying to count the rebound shots that your teammates are able to get at? And that's how you beat goaltenders today, I think, more so than ever. You know, they are so good, they're so big, and defensemen are always trained to try and get the opponent to shoot from the outside. So oftentimes, you're not going to see, you know, a hockey player being able to beat a goaltender coming down the wing. But that rebound is where the teams have to fight to get to that. And I think, you know, that could be the focus of the Islanders for sure.
Is there any rhyme or reason to why this team has been so streaky? You know, they could be unbeatable for a couple of weeks and all of a sudden they can't win. And they finish the season unbeatable and then they lose the first game here. What is it about this team that gives them that streaky nature?
Well, you know what? I don't watch every game. But, you know, when you take a look at their, you know, their scoring ability, it always comes down to being able to, you know, being able to outscore the opponent. And for the New York Islanders, you know, they've given up quite a few goals on a regular basis. So, you know, during the season, and, you know, you want that to stop, of course, but, you know, they're like 27th in the NHL, you know, in goals against, or goals for, I'm sorry. And, you know, that just doesn't cut it, really. And so the Florida Panthers, the New York Islanders have got to get themselves, you know, in a position where they can capitalize, you know, maybe on special teams, you know, being able to make sure your power play's working. I always felt when I played and, you know, back in the days of the Islanders, you know, our power play, you know, was usually running between 600 and 700%, meaning that, you know, we would score 6 or 7 goals, you know, on 10 power plays. And, you know, that is really where the difference could be made in playoffs, taking advantage of the opportunities that you're given.
And the other problem with this team is just how poor they've been all season long on the penalty kill. And they gave up another power play goal to start the game on Saturday. And usually a Lou Lamoriello-built team, that they're very good defensively. They're very good at the penalty kill. So is it coaching or is it the players? When you're ranked 32nd in the regular season on the kill, what can cause something like that?
I would think that the physical play is not nearly where it should be. And, you know, they have certainly a big defense that could be maybe more physical in blocking out players getting to the front of the net. I've always been confident in goaltending that if they can see the puck, you know, and your defenseman can clear the rebounds, you know, you're not going to run into too many issues. That may be the biggest problem where, you know, they're just not either clearing the rebounds. Like I said, I haven't watched all the games, but the ones that I have watched, you know, there's too much activity in front of the Islander goal.
And you just wonder, in this league now where they're calling things so close, it's probably a lot harder now to clear out the front of the net than it was when you played.
Well, you know, players are bigger too, you know.
Sure.
So, and you know, now you have people in front of the net, you know, your own defensemen trying to block shots, the opposing players trying to deflect. I mean, that didn't really, you know, wasn't really a big part of our game back in the day. But, you know, you had a lot of big guys that, you know, would stand in front of the net. You know, I remember the Flyers, you know, having Paul Holmgren right in front of the net, a big, strong guy that you couldn't move him out. So what do? I mean, basically you try and, you know, get position on him. You know, in most cases, you want to make sure that the puck is always in front of you. And especially when you're, you know, on defense, you want to have that puck ahead of you so you can either, you know, make a play or stop it from getting to the net. A lot of it is basic hockey and not chasing. You know, most times when you're killing a penalty or a team is killing a penalty and you see them, you know, really working hard, at chasing the puck, there's usually going to be a pretty good piece of open ice that's available for the team with the power play. You just can't have that.
Now, both the Rangers and the Islanders have a lot of work to do, but the next matchup, if the New York teams win, is Rangers-Islanders in the second round. It's been 30 years since we've seen these two teams play. It's been even longer than that that they played deep into the playoffs. Can you just, any remembrances of how those rivalries were and how great it would be for the sport here in New York if these two teams can hook up again in round two?
Well, I tell you what, that was pretty amazing back when, you know, we had those games against the Rangers, and you think back to, you know, 78, 79, and, you know, playing in 1980. We played the Rangers, you know, pretty tough, but they beat us in the late 70s, you know, with a, you know, you remember John Davidson having an incredible series against us. I think that was 1979. And then, you know, we're able to come back after that and, you know, just be able to, you know, when we played the Rangers, it was really a question of trying to control your emotions because, you know, you certainly the fans were, you know, hyped up. It was a great time. But, you know, I believe, if I'm correct, in the 4 years we won the Cup, we had to play the Rangers, I think, each and every one of those seasons in the playoffs to move on to be able to win the Cup. So, you know, the rivalry was thick, and at times I said, you know, I think that, you know, the rivalry in the late 70s between the Islanders and Rangers was probably as big, if not bigger, than, you know, the Red Sox and the Yankees. So in any event, it was a great time in hockey.
What was it beyond the fans? Did you hate the Rangers when you played them?
No, actually, you know, you can't do that. I think that, you know, when I remember reading about, I think it was Muhammad Ali or boxer going into the ring, you know, and, you know, everybody's asking, do you go in, you know, really angry and mad? And I remember the response, which very much was the way we were prepared by Al Arbor. You know, you got to check your emotions. You want to be able to focus on the game without that anger, having to manage the anger during the game. So I didn't hate the Rangers. Certainly the fans didn't, you know, make it easy, but during that time, because there's, you know, the high emotions. But the fact is we had a lot of playoffs against the Rangers, and most of them good. So I can't look back and say I hated that team. I just loved ours.
Danny, we thank you for joining us. It should be a good game tonight. We look forward to it.
As I am looking forward to it, as following the playoffs, love this time of year.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Danny. Good luck.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Islanders and the Hurricanes tonight. Game 2, 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on 10:50.
It's on 10:50. Chris King does a great job. Pageau expected to be back in the lineup after missing game 1. That's going to certainly help with the punch. They just got to find somebody that can score. I just think the Carolina is just a better offensive team. They both play very structured systems. They both have goaltenders that are playing well. Varlamov, I thought, played very well on Saturday. I just think when the Hurricanes need a goal, they've got a better chance of getting it. And Kuznetsov had the power play goal. He should have won the Conn Smythe when the Capitals won the Cup. I mean, then you got Natchez, you got Svechnikov, you got Aho. I mean, there's so many really good players. But you've got Barzell, you've got Lee. I just think the Islanders come up a little short offensively. But it was the worst penalty kill in the league. And you can't not commit penalties. And so, you know, you're going to have to try to stay out of the box and just hope to get a goal. If they play the same way they played Saturday, I think they can win. I mean, they didn't play that poorly. I think that close this series is going to be. And boy, if they can steal tonight and get home ice, because you know that building's going to be up for grabs for games 3 and 4. Boy, this is a big one tonight for the Islanders.
I love how much nostalgia there is in the town right now. Do you guys see how many Knicks greats were at the Garden on Saturday?
Oh,
too?
Yeah.
It's just that there's something in the air right now.
Yeah, Maloney said that he had done a special event with some former Knicks before the game. So, you know, the Garden, it's got a vibe, Peter. You know, the people that were at the Garden, I saw Adam Graves. He was there for the Knicks game and then the Ranger game. The vibe is there. It's really captivating. Hopefully both teams will make huge runs.
I visit Mercedes-Benz of White Plains and see why they've received the Best of the Best award for the third straight year. With over 350 new and certified pre-owned sedans, SUVs, and vans available, they have the vehicle for you. Start your shopping online at mbwhiteplains.com or visit their showroom. American Express cardholders can take advantage of additional benefits. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Well, you know this. My home is my happy place, and that happy place needed a refresh. That's why I chose the painting professionals at CertaPro Painters to give it a facelift. They've exceeded my expectations with great workmanship and communication. I received daily updates on the progress of the job, and when they finished, they made sure I was happy. They didn't just pack up and go. They wanted to make sure I was completely satisfied before they considered the job completed. They take pride in what they do, and you can trust them to get the job done right. I couldn't be more satisfied with the CertaPro Painters. The whole process has been stress-free. Now's the time to do the home painting project you've been putting off. Schedule your free estimate today at CertaPro.com. Each CertaPro Painters business, independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They're a local business that you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at CertaPro.com. That's Certa with a C. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose CertaPro Painters.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.